Continuing on in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. Last time we ended with verse 3, which told us how as Christians we should be living here. Verse 3 says, "Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." We're to live purifying ourselves. One day we'll be in heaven. We will see the Lord. How wonderful. We'll be home soon in a glorious state. That's our hope. But while we're here, we're to have behavior becoming a son and daughter of God our Father. John has been covering here what a true believer is and what a false believer and a false teacher are. As we read earlier in the earlier chapters, there are antichrists already, those against Christ. There are false teachers that were trying to pull people away from the truth. And so he's going over who is a Christian and who is not a Christian so that they wouldn't be deceived. We've been studying, you know, the love that a child of God should have. And what they're going to be, we're going to be like him and see him as he is one day. And as we're living here in verse 3, we need to be purifying ourselves just as he is pure. We're here to reflect our Father. We are to purify ourselves, live godly lives, and bless God while we're here and not live in sin. We're separated unto God. And we have this new life in Jesus. So we're to keep our mind and heart on God, on things above. And we went over that last time. A child of God. They love. They know God. They know the truth. They purify themselves. Today we start covering the opposite of what a born-again Christian is. The opposite of what we should be. And that is one that practices sin. And even though they may say they're a Christian or be in the church, as we read, you know, in chapter 2, verse 19, they came out from us, but they were not of us. There were people that were in the church in the fellowship with them, but they went out because they were not of us. They weren't really born again, and they were spreading false doctrine. And so he's telling them now, this is how you tell. One that's a child of God is purifying himself, but then one who is living in sin and practicing sin is dirtying himself and not purifying himself. And we get into verse 4. He says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Here's your definition of sin. Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, and lawlessness and sin is lawlessness. Who gives us the law, the commands? God. God tells us how to be, what to do and what not to do. It comes from God. He determines the law, not our country, not other countries, not man, God. God has laid out for us, and he's laid it out in our Bible here, how we are to live, what is sin, and sin is lawlessness. It means we have God's word and we break it. That's sin. We don't obey it. Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Sin is going against the will or word of God. That's what sin is. God says, here's the law, here's my commands, here's my word. You go against that, you're lawless, that means you sin. That's pretty simple. I think we understand that. God says, thou shalt not steal. We steal, we commit lawlessness, and we commit sin. I think it's interesting that most societies get their basis for their laws really out of God's Ten Commandments. Isn't that interesting? That they set laws that more or less are stating the Ten Commandments. Everyone has laws against murder, against stealing, against a lot of things that God said. See, God set the law, and sin is going against law. Now, even before the law of Moses was given and the Ten Commandments, even before that, God still had his laws. He still told people how to live, even before Moses and the Ten Commandments. Remember, it started right away with Adam and Eve. What did he tell Adam? What did he tell him in the garden? Thou shalt not touch. You can have anything, but don't touch that tree in the midst of the garden. For the minute you eat it, you will die. So it started right away, even before the Ten Commandments. God was showing them, what I tell you, you have to do, or else you will die. And die spiritually. And that's true. Even in the garden, in Genesis 2:17, he says, don't eat of it. What happened in Genesis 3? Satan came along, deceived Eve, and she ate. What did she do? She committed lawlessness because God said, don't do it. And she did it. So there always was God's law. It's going against God's word, God's will. They broke God's law. People continue to break God's law. Now, sin is really man choosing his way over God's way. Now, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do this anyway. That's sin. It's called disobedience. Disobedience. Imposing one's will over God's will, their creator. Now, I don't care if a person's a believer or not. They are God's creation. And they're sinning against God. See, one chooses, here's the thing, one chooses to sin. To rebel against God. A person chooses that. It's not like somebody makes them do it. They choose to sin. So they have their choice. Who they want to obey. You know, it's like when we see children disobey parents. A parent says, don't do that. Why do you tell them that? Because it's for their welfare. Because you know it's best for them. Don't do that. Many children defy what the parent says. And they enforce their will over their parent. It's called rebellion. It's defiance. That's another word for sin. It's defiance. That's how it is with God and man. God says, do this, don't do that. He has his will, his commands, his law. And it is for man's benefit. If we would understand that it's for man's benefit. I think we can all agree, if you live according to God's word and in fellowship with God, it's a peaceful life. We get into trouble when we defy his word, his law. Many choose to enforce their own will and live their own way. They think they know better than God. Well, it's like Eve. You know, she got thinking. She listened to the serpent and he says, well, did God really say that you will surely die? See, Satan's here trying to get people to question, well, why would God not want me to be happy? Because he says you don't do it, and if you do it, you're going to be unhappy. He knows what's best. People suffer because they disobey God. Verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. We miss the mark of God, insubordination toward God, breaking God's law. Let's turn to James chapter 4, verse 17, please. Back to James chapter 4. James 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, what is it? To him it is sin. We know what not to do. You know what happens? We do it, and guess what we do? Sin. It can be anything from unforgiveness to murder. All those things are covered in the Bible. Love. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. If you know to do good and you do not do it, to him it is sin. That's as simple as it is. See, people rule in their life and they do what they want to do. See, God is love. It's going to tell us that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. God is love. And we need to know that. The Bible teaches that. But because God is love, and here's where people don't understand God. Because God is love does not mean that he doesn't have rules and regulations. Just like when you love someone in the home, there's rules and regulations. And he has rules and regulations for his children so that they know how to behave for their safety, for their well-being, for interaction with their Father in heaven. He says, here's what you do and how you do it. And God has his rules and regulations. When you love your children, you have rules and regulations. You say, don't do that. Do this. It's for their benefit. Now, when we read 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, 1 John 2, verse 3, how do we know the true believer? Now, by this we know that we know him. How can I know that I really know God if we keep his commandments? You're keeping his commandments. You're living according to God and what he has to say. You've accepted that. You know, in John 14, verse 21, Jesus said, the one who really loves me is the one who knows my commandments and does them. Knowing the Bible isn't enough, doesn't make a person a Christian. Jesus said, that doesn't matter. It's who knows it and keeps them, does them. See, the unbeliever doesn't keep them. So we obey the Lord. This is a beautiful psalm, Psalm 19. Turn to Psalm 19, please. Verses 7 to 11. Verse 7, Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. That's a pretty good promise. Keep the word of the Lord and there's great reward. It's a blessed life. It's when we step out of bounds that we run into trouble. The law of the Lord is perfect. That's what it tells us here in the psalm. Back to verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. People say, well, I am a Christian, but I've committed a sin. But I ask God to forgive me. Am I saved? Yeah, we know you're saved by what we read in 1 John 2 because you're obeying God's word. And in God's word, there's actually a place for forgiveness if you do sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't the law of the Lord good? He provided a way for me as a Christian, if I happen to fall to sin, to be forgiven. But the unbeliever doesn't do that because they don't believe in the word of God. So they lie and stay in their sin. I have sinned, you have sinned, and God has provided a way of forgiveness. The real question is, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. What does the word commit mean? Well, in the Greek, it's poio. It's poio, and it means one does, continues in, goes on in. That's what it means. You have no problem with living in sin. You don't turn to the Lord right away and ask for forgiveness and get cleansing. It means one does. You're committing, living in it, doing it. You just can continue in this type of a lifestyle. It is their behavior. They go against God's law. It's as if a person would say, I'm a born-again Christian, I love the Lord, but I'm living with this girl over here and having fornication. You don't love the Lord. You're breaking God's law, and you have no problem with it. We read in chapter 2, you obey the word of the Lord. Even if you have sinned, you confess. See, they really block God's forgiveness because forgiveness is conditioned upon asking for forgiveness, confessing. They don't do that. They live in it. So they'll never be forgiven. They don't think it's anything. That's what's good about God's law. It has a way for everything that's going on in a person's life for them to know what to do. So they practice sin. They go on. They choose the flesh over the spirit. They don't know God. 1 John 2, chapter 3. By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So if I fall into sin as a Christian, I confess it immediately, I get it right with God, and I'm washed. This continual cleansing. But you can't go on living with that person. That's sin. You don't know God, that person. They might say they do, but they don't. Because Jesus said it, John says it here, it's one who does the word of God. We fall, we sin, we know we are guilty, we confess, we go on in the Lord. Others continue practicing it. They commit lawlessness, and they don't love the Lord. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Turn back to 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, they've heard about the Lord, like same thing it tells us in Hebrews, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they've heard about him, if they are again entangled in that old lifestyle and overcome, they've given into that again, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. A dog returns to his vomit, and a pig goes back to the mud. That's where they're comfortable. That's how you can tell a born-again Christian. That's what this book is a lot about. Difference between a deceiver, unbeliever, and a born-again Christian. Because you can dress up a dog, you can do all kinds of things to it, but you know what he's really going to want to do? Act like a dog. Because there's no regeneration. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. There's regeneration. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away, all things become new. You can't live in the mud. You can wash up a pig, dress it up, put a tie on it, take him out to dinner, sit at the table with you. But you know what he's really going to want to do? Go back to the mud, to the mire, and eat the garbage. Why? Because it's still a pig. Same with the person. They can go to church for a while. They can quote the Bible, put the bumper stickers on, go to Christian events. But you know what they're really going to want to do? Go back to that old lifestyle. Give in to the flesh. I hear of a lot of people today professing Christians that are living with one another. No problem. Well, they're not born again. Can you imagine yourself knowing the Lord living in sin day to day? That would kill us. If you really know the Lord, you can't do that. But God knows those that are His. They're not fooling God. But 1 John can really pin a person down. People say, well, I don't know if they're a Christian or not. Oh, well, check out their life. Are they doing the will of God? Or are they doing the will of the flesh? Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You can't do it. The question is, where is their heart? Who's their master? Jesus knows the inner man. Are they born again or not? Do they have God or not? In a real sense, not a casual sense. Do they want to please the Lord or please themselves? Do they want the Lord's will in their life or do they want their own will in their life? Do they take after their dad in heaven? Are they in love with God and desire to please Him and have fellowship with Him or please themselves? Are they convicted of sin or not? We tell by those things. I know this. When a man or a woman falls in love with someone, it shows. It's the same on the human level. It shows. Loving shows. Loving God will show. And by obedience and desiring to please Him. You know, when you're going out with somebody, somebody will say, boy, you really love that girl, hey? And immediately you reply, yes, I do. You know why? You couldn't hide it. Because it shows. And you act that way toward them. It shows. The same way when a person loves God, their priority will be God. Oh, I love you, honey, but I'm going to be gone for a week doing my own thing. Well, that's not love. It's the same way with the Lord. It shows. That's what John is saying here. It comes down to being born again or not. Because one that does is purifying himself. Not sinning, not rebelling, not going through life to please oneself. One practices sin and lives in it does not really know the Lord. See, we have to live the Christian life to please God. And we please the spirit or the flesh. Now, Jesus came to take away our sin. Back to our text and look at verse 5. And you know that He was manifest, that He came to this world. He was there to make His purpose. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins. And in Him, there is no sin. You know why Jesus came to this earth? To take away our sin. Not to give us some good sayings to live by. Not to be a prophet. He did those things, but He came, as we're told in the New Testament, to seek and to save that which was lost. And we're told here, He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him, when you're in Him, there is no sin. You see, He was perfect, and He was righteous. And when I give my life to Christ, I am righteous in Christ. And then I live that way, following Him. And while we're in this life, we're being conformed to the image of Christ. We're being conformed to the image of Christ. He was manifested. He became man for the sole purpose to take away our sin, to save us. One who goes on sinning is disregarding what Jesus came to do. Sin doesn't bother them at all. They mock it and they live in it. And they don't identify with Jesus. Jesus came to take away our sin. That's why. And we are not to live in it anymore, practice it anymore. We need to know God and our Savior and what He did for us, know His love and choose to follow Him and love Him back by our actions. Or else a person needs to be honest and admit, well, I don't really love the Lord. They're better off being honest. That's what people need to do, be honest with themselves so that God can deal with them. Not be hypocrites. You know, you people usually call Christians hypocrites. Really, the unbelievers are the real hypocrites. Because they'll challenge God, they'll get angry at God. Well, Why are you getting angry? You're challenging someone you probably don't even believe in. And well, why doesn't God do this if he really exists or if he loves him? Well, they didn't take step one and give their life to him. What do they expect in return? They're very hypocritical. Hey, you commit to one thing or the other and be consistent. What did Joshua say? Let's turn to Joshua 24. Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Verse 14. He tells the nation here when they're ready to inherit the promised land. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and truth. Be real about it. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites or in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Everyone has to decide who they want to serve. But serve him. Don't be hypocritical or mock it. He came to take away our sin. And when you give your life to the Lord, you then serve him. We don't abuse grace. How wonderful it is to be forgiven and then not continue in sin. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Romans 6, verse 1. Romans 6, verse 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? He's talking to the believers now. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Hey, grace is going to cover it? Certainly not. And the Old King James says, God forbid. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? You can't live in it and practice it. You may sin, but then you repent and you confess and get cleansed, but you can't live in it. He says, how we have died to sin with Jesus. How can we live any longer in it? A person can't if they're truly born again. Well, so-and-so is a pastor, so-and-so is a great preacher, this or that, or a teacher, and boy, and they're living together, or they're doing this or doing that. Jesus didn't say follow a person. Jesus said, follow me. Many people in ministry have fallen and will continue to fall. That's why we don't follow a person. Jesus said, follow me. Do what I tell you to do. And Joshua's saying that. Hey, it's okay, he tells the people. You want to choose the gods in Egypt that God delivered you from? You thought it was cool over there, living like that? It's okay, go ahead and serve them. Or you want to serve the gods in whose land you are now, in the promised land, the land of Canaan? They've got a lot of gods. Maybe you feel more comfortable with that. You know, the immoral worship and all. Maybe that's your thing. That's okay. But at least choose who you're going to serve. The Lord or those gods. And he challenged the people. And that's what I think we all need to challenge ourselves, say, who are we going to serve? Let's be real. Let's be honest. Not on the fence, not sometime. Choose this day who you're going to serve. See, John's trying to show these people who are the believers and who aren't so that you don't end up following the wrong teachers. Because there were false teachers that came out from that church and were getting others to go down that same road. He says, here's how you're going to know who's the real thing and who's not. The lifestyle, what they're into, is Jesus their pursuit? Many profess to know God and continue in sin. Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter 6. And here's why we're challenged, because God doesn't want us to be surprised. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. He's telling him, hey, God's not going to be mocked. They might fool people here, but God's not going to be fooled. He's not going to be mocked. If you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to your Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit. A lot of people are going to be surprised. Galatians chapter 5, one previous chapter, Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Hey, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now, the works of the flesh, and here's what he's talking about, they're evident. You'll know, you'll see it, which are adultery, fornication, that's sex outside of marriage, uncleanness, lewdness, it could be pornography, things on the internet, idolatry, worshiping other people or things, sorcery, and that gets into pharmakia, drugs and all, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those, and here's that word again, who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's about practicing them. A person may fall and confess and get right with God. It happens to us at times. This word practice, though, is like the other way we read. You do that. That is your lifestyle. It's not a one-time sin. Now, what does he say at the end of verse 21 for those people? They will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know what that means? They're not going to go to heaven. They're fooling themselves. They're not going to go to heaven because they're not born again. Because the flesh rules. The flesh rules. If anyone's practicing sin, be honest with them. Tell them, hey, you're not headed for heaven. You better change. Get right or get left. That's the way it's going to be. Now, verse 6, our last verse today. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Whoever abides in him does not sin. That word abide means like you're attached to. It's like he's the vine and we're the branch. And our life comes from Jesus. You're living for him. He's your life. He's the one you're following. Again, you may sin, but you confess, you repent, just like God provided for, and you hate it, and you go on with your life, but you get it right with God. A true believer abides in Christ. Doesn't mean they'll be sinless, but they stay with Jesus. And they confess, and they get it right, because he's our life. Whoever keeps on sinning, verse 6, whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Hey, they practicing it, they don't really know Jesus. The person, is really what it means, is they've never been born again. Never been born again. They don't display the new nature. So it tells us to look at how a person is living, and he's warning them about false teachers and saying, just watch their life. Who are they following? What are they doing? Are they comfortable in sin? Or are they attached to Jesus? So a person in sin proves he doesn't know Jesus because he doesn't abide in Jesus, and he sins and it doesn't bother him. Remember, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, in Christ we're a new creation. Old things passed away, all things become new. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, come out from among them and be separate. There's a different lifestyle for the Christian. 1 Corinthians 10:21. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 10:21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake at the Lord's of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Hey, you're only going to eat at one table. Follow one master. It's either the Lord or the devil. That's the way it has to be. There's no playing world and church and make-believe. It's one or the other. That's what we have. Great reward, as we read. There's great reward to those who obey his word. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your challenge, for showing us, Lord, what it is you require. We thank you that we have you in our life. We pray, Lord, that you would cleanse us, that you would work in our hearts, conform us into the image of your Son. We pray, Lord, that we wouldn't get confused by the world, but we would know your word and it would be hidden in our heart, and we would be led by the Holy Spirit and we would follow truth. Thank you, Lord, that you even provided a way in your word for forgiveness. Lord, as we worship you now and pray later, inhabit this place so that it's a holy time and not just something we do. Move among us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.